Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Wednesday, July 27th, 2016, episode 12.01, the Get Back to Football Show. Training camps open up all around the NFL this year, and I have a team playing in my very own backyard. That's right, the Los Angeles Rams have opened up shop, and they start immediately by releasing a quarterback. Find out who and why. The Cowboys have several players suspended, and Bill Belichick actually says something at a press conference, and it has to do with Jimmy. Thank you all for coming back and listening to the show for a 12th season. That's right, an unprecedented 12th season of NFL Rants and Raves. People, let's chomp it in. Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves. Oh, man, it feels good to be back in this chair, to have the headset on, the microphone in front of me, and talking to you, the best podcast listeners in the entire world. And wherever in the world you are listening, and however you're listening, either listening to the recorded podcast or streaming from the website, thank you very much for keeping me going. I know a lot of you are saying, what happened? What happened last year? Because it has been an extremely long time since I have been behind the microphone. Let's just say at the end of last season, I got pretty sick. It started around the beginning of the season, actually. I think you guys heard some of the podcasts from last year. I was sick in a lot of them. I was struggling to get through the show, and I was just not doing good, and therefore I did not finish, and got a lot of emails and folks wondering what happened, what was going on. You know, it took a few months for me to get back to being healthy again, and after I did that, I got healthy at the beginning of this year, January, February. The Super Bowl came along. I tried to post some things, and I made myself available via chat rooms to some folks. But it took a couple months for me to just step back and decide whether I wanted to bring back NFL Rants and Raves. Took some time in July to get away with the family. We had some vacation, got some clarity, and decided, yes, a 12th season was in order. I did not want to see NFL Rants and Raves go out the way it went out last season. So I am back. And I'm making a promise to you that I am committed to get through this season for you. Just as much as you guys like listening to the show, I really do enjoy when I am not sick doing the show. I mean, it was hard last year, like I said, coughing up through the episodes. But you know what? I am here. I'm feeling healthy. I'm feeling good. And if I stay as healthy as I am right now, I will continue NFL Rants and Raves through a 12th season and ended up with Super Bowl 51. So that's it. I want to tell everyone who participated in fantasy football last year, you should have received an email about your prizes. For those of you that won, I've received a couple of replies back. I'm still looking to hear back for a couple of you. The leagues are also open. They are forming now. Got about a week and a half, 2 weeks before we close fantasy football. If you played with us last year, go out and check your email. Emails have gone out. If you didn't play with us last year and want to play this year, head out to the website, NFLRNR.com. Find out how to sign up. You can also follow us on Twitter, at NFLRNR, or on Facebook, Facebook.com/NFLRantsAndRaves. And you can check out. We've put some links out there for you to sign up. But once again, thank you all for continuing to listen. 12 seasons of me covering the NFL, 9 of those with Jeff, the last 3 on my own here, and it's been crazy. I've gotten to see some great games. I've been out and visited with some wonderful folks. You listeners are fantastic, and that is why I keep doing the show, because you guys are awesome. I may have a few tricks up my sleeve this year, so keep on listening so you can hear what those might be later on in the season. But right now, let's get back to football. Training camps are open. That means football is here. 10 days from now, the preseason will begin as the Colts take on the Green Bay Packers in the Hall of Fame game. That is going to be a good one to watch. Just because it's Packers and Colts in Canton, that should be awesome. 6 days after that game, week one of the preseason will kick off. And after 20 years of waiting, 20 long, miserable, frustrating years, the NFL will have its first pro football game in Los Angeles as the Los Angeles Rams host the Dallas Cowboys in the team's first preseason game and the first game in LA in a mighty long time. I'm excited for that. I hope to be there in the LA Coliseum because I think the atmosphere is going to be electric. It's going to be pretty crazy. And I hope to, I can't wait. Football is going to be played in Los Angeles, people. That's all you need to know. You don't need to know anything else other than the fact that football professionally will be played in the city of the Angels. Los Angeles, California will have a team to call their own, and they're getting behind the LA Rams. I tell you, they've sold out all their season tickets. Tomorrow, Today is the 27th. Tomorrow, the 28th of July, the Rams are putting their single game, single tickets up available for sale. And I can tell you that if you don't get online and buy your ticket within the first 30 minutes, they will be sold out. Everybody wants to see the LA Rams play again. And you know what? They don't even care that it's the LA Rams. It's football, professional football back in LA. 73,000 season tickets, I believe, sold. They sold. And people in LA, it's exciting. You guys are going to flip. I even in the mail just last week received my Los Angeles Rams shorts. I am going to be wearing shorts for another professional football team, people. Can you believe that? I know you all are thinking to yourselves right now, I won't believe it until I see it. When I see the picture of Steven wearing Ram shorts, then I will believe it. But until then, I'm not going to believe it, not going to believe it. Well, believe it. They came in the mail. I have them in my possession. At some point this year, I will be at the LA Coliseum wearing my Los Angeles Rams shorts. It's going to be fun. Lots of fun. Speaking of the Rams, we'll get right to it. Training camps, as I said, are open, but the Rams have released quarterback Nick Foles. They just said, you don't want to be here? See you later. Don't let the door hit you on the backside. You don't got to go home, but you got to get up on out of here. That's right. Nick Foles was released by the Rams. Now, I understand what the Rams are doing. They got their golden boy. Draft came and went. They got Jared Goff. Goff is their guy. They're hoping he's the guy that steps up to the plate, wins the starting job, and becomes a starter from day one. My only problem with this trade is, look, they traded just last year to get this guy. Nick Foles came to St. Louis in the exchange where Sam Bradford went to Philadelphia. Bradford's still with the Eagles. The Rams didn't get anything in return for Nick Foles. They just outright released him. He doesn't even have to go through the waiver wires. He is officially, once they released him, a free agent. He can sign with whomever they want, and the Rams get nothing. Nothing. That's just not a very good trade in my eyes, but we'll see how it plays out for the Rams. This is what this means for the Rams. They're going to start this season with rookie Jared Goff, Case Keenum, and 2 second-year guys, Sean Mannion and Dylan Thompson, neither of which have much NFL experience, mind you. Thompson has yet to throw a pass in a regular season NFL game. And Mannion has thrown, seven attempts? He was 6 of 7 when he came in to a Week 12 game last year against Cincinnati in a 31-7 blowout. That's the only experience those two guys have. So with Goff, Thompson, and Mannion, these guys have a combined 7 pass attempts in the NFL. And then there's Case Keenum, who, oh, by the way, I think lost 8 games last year or something like that. That is the quarterbacks that the Los Angeles Rams are going into battle with this season. I hope for their sake Jared Goff pays off. I hope he is the guy they think he is. He performs for them, because other than that, it's going to be very, very brutal if Goff cannot take the helm and be the starter coming right out of the gate for the Los Angeles Rams. Speaking of other quarterbacks, the New York Jets. That's right. The Jets have finally, after playing around with Ryan Fitzpatrick, have signed him. Now, Fitzpatrick wanted kind of a long-term deal. He said, well, you know what? Look at, you know, there's some guys out there that, you know, didn't do as good as me, and they got some pretty good cashish. They got a lot of cabbage. I should get some cabbage. I played pretty well for the Jets. That was probably the best season I ever had. Threw 31 touchdowns, over 3,900 yards passing. Come on, give me something. And the Jets didn't want to give him that kind of money. They didn't want to give him a long-term deal. So they signed him to a one-year, $12 million deal with incentives. And if he hits some of those marks, which he should, it could turn that deal into a $15 million deal. But Fitzpatrick is back. Now, my question to the New York Jets is this. All right, New York, this is the best option at quarterback you have? I mean, let's face it. Fitzpatrick is a journeyman, right? He's my definition of a journeyman quarterback or a journeyman player is you've played for at least three or more football teams in the National Football League. This is his sixth team. Fitzpatrick has been with five other NFL teams. The Jets are his sixth team. Last year, he barely completed 60% of his passes. I think he completed 59.1% of his passes. It was statistically his best season. He threw 31 touchdowns, but come on, he had 17 turnovers as well. I think something like 15 INTs and two fumbles. That's not a great ratio. And so he's claiming that he's worth a lot more. The Jets are saying no, but, you know, you're the best we got. We really need you. We don't want to go back to Geno Smith. So we'll give you $12 million for 1 year. Why don't you come back, come to training camp. Let's get this thing started and see if we can, go to the playoffs with Ryan Fitzpatrick at the helm. I'm not sure he's the guy. Now, I don't believe Geno Smith is the guy either. You guys know how much I reamed the Jets for making that pick to begin with. So I'm not saying bring in Geno, but the Jets had some money under the salary cap where they could have gone out and gone and brought in another veteran quarterback. Nothing against Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't believe he is the guy that's going to get you deep into the playoffs. He might sneak you into the playoffs, but he's not going to take you far into the playoffs. And that's just because Ryan Fitzpatrick is a journeyman quarterback. He's a backup at best. He'll come in from time to time and spell you and play 3-4 weeks of solid football. But I don't think he's the guy to get you to the promised land. And this is where the Jets are. Right now that front office is, ever since they let Rex Ryan go, they're kind of fumbling around, trying to establish something, and I just don't think they even know what they're trying to establish. They don't have another single caller to turn to, so they could turn to Fitzpatrick. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. $15 million to Fitzpatrick, that's a lot of money. And you're expecting to go to the playoffs this year. I mean, you feel you have some of the pieces in place on the defensive side of the ball. You think you've got some good pieces on the offensive side of the ball. And you just needed a quarterback. And Fitzpatrick was what you went after. So good luck to the New York Jets. We'll see how that plays out. I'm going to stick in the AFC East for a second, because we actually heard from Bill Belichick. That's right. Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots. Yes. The dreaded empire. Speaking of which, for a second, hold on. I'm going to sidetrack here. This is one of those classic NFL rants and raves. I'm going to step away from football for a second. Since I have not talked to you in a while, The Force Awakens. Oh, my God. Star Wars, The Force Awakens. I loved it, but I have a problem. Because in that movie, I did not hear this. I was not reminded of the New England Patriots while I watched that movie. They had, I think, like a 5-second beat when you see the old Darth Vader helmet all burned up and stuff, and they kind of did like a like an ominous like dum 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 dum, and that's it, and that's all you heard. That was it, and I was like, how can you have a Star Wars movie? You have some pretty bad guys. I mean, Kylo Ren freezing a bolt of from the blaster and just in midair and leaving it there for like, I don't know, 5 minutes. That's pretty impressive there, a power of the Force there. You just, here's the blaster shot. I'm just going to freeze it there. Now I'm going to talk to you for a little bit. And it's still going to stay frozen, by the way, while we have our conversation. And then, whoosh, the blast hits and poof, it's gone. But there's no Empire Death March. How is that possible? I know it's not Darth Vader. I know it's not the Empire anymore. It's the First Order. But if you're going to make a new musical sound for the First Order, and it's supposed to be as menacing as the Imperial March, you got to give it some oomph, what they had. And I love John Williams. John Williams' music in movies is fantastic. But he didn't give me the oomph. He left me wanting this. This is what I wanted. And instead I got some weird down notes every time Kylo Ren stepped out. It just wasn't good enough. You have to write something that's just as powerful as this. And now we'll get back to the New England Patriots. Here they are. Bill Belichick. That's right, Bill Belichick. He's finally admitted that he is preparing to open the season without Tom Brady at quarterback. No Tom Brady. He suspended 4 games. And I'm going to leave you this note that I'm going to play the presser from Bill Belichick today. When the season opens for the New England Patriots, they are going to start a quarterback not named Tom Brady in their season opener for the first time since 2001. Fact check me on that, but I believe that's right. Since the 2001 season, Tom Brady has started every season opener. Remember even that year where he tore his ACL and he was out? He started that game the first week of the season, but he tore his ACL in that first game. Then the dude, what's his name? I forgot his name because I'm trying to get his name out of my head. Castle came in because of what he did over in Dallas. I'm trying to get his name out of my brain. But Castle came in, and they still won 11 games that season without Brady. But he started the season. So since 2001, the Patriots have started Tom Brady at quarterback. And, my friends, that is going to snap the longest active streak in the NFL for quarterbacks starting a season. Tom Brady will not be able to start this season because of his 4-game suspension. And here comes Jimmy Garoppolo, and this is what Belichick had to say about that today.
We have, you know, finally some definition with Tom's situation. So our priority now then is to get Jimmy ready for the start of the season for the Arizona game. So that'll be obviously a comprehensive process. Tom will return as the starting quarterback when he comes back. But in the meantime, we have to prioritize the first part of our schedule, and that'll be to get Jimmy ready to go. So
there you go. That's Bill Belichick speaking at today's press conference for the New England media. And two things you should take from that. One, you should take that when Tom Brady returns, he is the starting quarterback. There's been a lot of talk about what if Jimmy Garoppolo is so great in the first 4 weeks. They're 4-0 and he's riding high. Will he keep the job? Yeah, no. Bill Belichick doesn't let you know a lot of things. He tries to, in a press conference, not answer anything. But he told you right there, before anyone even asked him a question, he said, Tom is the starter when he comes back. And I believe him. I don't believe him about a lot of things. But I believe him when he's saying that Tom Brady will be the starting quarterback. And I don't care if the New England Patriots are 4-0. I don't care if Jimmy Garoppolo has thrown 20 touchdowns in those first 4 games. I don't believe he is the guy for New England. Bill Belichick knows it. The other thing you should take from that is that we're spending all the time we can with Jimmy. And you just call him Jimmy. Jimmy, to get him ready for that season opener. That first game against the Arizona Cardinals, that is what Bill Belichick is preparing Jimmy Garoppolo for. He is going to prepare for Jimmy to play the first four games, and then Tom Brady will come back and be the starter. I thought that was interesting. Bill Belichick usually doesn't say much in press conferences. Came out the bat swinging. Came out talking about personnel moves, players that they're bringing in, and the situation here with Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo. He gave the media all that information prior to the first question. And then the first question was, oh, how are you preparing Jimmy Garoppolo? And then he went back to Bill Belichick being Belichick, saying, we're going day-to-day. The day-to-day answer from Bill Belichick. I think this is big news for the New England Patriots. I think if you heard what Matt Damon said last week, he said that Tom Brady being angry that he has to miss these four games is a good thing for Patriots fans, because Brady, when he comes back, he'll be sharp and focused and ready, and he's going to, you know, take no prisoners and take names and kick some booty. And I truly believe that Matt Damon's onto something. I think Tom Brady is a better football player. He's a better quarterback when he's angry, when he's got a chip on his shoulder, when he feels he's been disrespected. And getting this four-game suspension handed to him by the NFL, I don't think there's any more disrespect that he could possibly get than that. And when he comes back, he's going to – it's like that season where he threw for, 50 touchdowns. He's going to be on a mission, and Matt Damon's right. Angry Tom Brady is a good Tom Brady on the football field. We'll see how the Patriots do in those first four games, however. Those first four games for the Patriots, believe it or not, folks, they're important. They are important. Don't let anyone tell you that those four games are not important for the New England Patriots. If they come out of there 0-4, that's going to spell trouble. It's going to be difficult for them to turn around their season if Garoppolo can't win one or two of those games. Look, they're at Arizona to start the season. And I don't know if you've watched All or Nothing, the football show that was made by Amazon and NFL Films together. I fell in love with Bruce Arians of the Arizona Cardinals. I would work my butt off for that coach if I were a player or one of his assistant coaches. I think that man really knows the game well. I think he treats both his players and his coaching staff with a lot of dignity, a lot of respect, and he looks after his people. That is a good man right there in Bruce Arians. I would work for that man in a heartbeat if he would give me a job. And I came away thinking that the Arizona Cardinals are going to do everything they can this season to get over that hump and get that man to the Super Bowl. Look, they lost in the wild card game the year before. Last year they lost in the divisional round. I think this year not only do they get to the NFC championship game, they get into the Super Bowl game and maybe even win one for him. Watch out for the Arizona Cardinals this year. That's how confident I am that they will beat the New England Patriots. Week one, Sunday night football in Arizona against the New England Patriots. That's just a loss right now, just because that's how I'm feeling about how the Cardinals are going to come out and play football this year. Next after that, they got three home games. That's crazy. That's got to be killing the New England Patriot fans more than anything else, is that the New England Patriots, after they play a Sunday night football game in Arizona, then have three home games. They host the Dolphins, they host the Houston Texans on Thursday night football, and then they host the Buffalo Bills. So, three home games, so that means Brady only plays at home five times this year. Two of those are division games against the Dolphins and the Bills. So that cuts into divisional games for Tom Brady. And they could conceivably lose all three of those games. The Dolphins always play the New England Patriots tough, and they've split with the New England Patriots over the last few years. The Houston Texans are going to be a brand new football team with Brock Osweiler. That one could go either way. I think a Jimmy Garoppolo-led New England Patriots team could win that football game. But nothing is for granted, especially it's a short week. You only got 3 days to prepare for that Thursday night football game on NFL Network. The Houston Texans can go and sneak one. Then finally, on October 2nd, you have the Buffalo Bills. This is a team that has always played the New England Patriots tough. Rex Ryan is certainly going to be up there trying to knock the Patriots off their limb. And if the Patriots go into that game 0-3, Rex will do everything in his power to throw the entire kitchen sink at Jimmy Garoppolo to make sure that the Bills win that football game and send the Patriots down an 0-4 dagger. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying it's a possibility because of the teams that they're going to match up against. And if Jimmy Garoppolo isn't up to the task, the Patriots could start 0-4 and be reeling by season end. It's going to be very tricky for them to start the season. Bill Belichick knows that. I think he wasn't playing around in his press conference today. He was just letting everybody know how it is. Our priority, get Jimmy ready for the opening of the season, and then we'll deal with Tom when he comes back, and Tom will be the starter then. But those are going to be four interesting games to watch at Arizona, hosting Miami, Houston, and the Buffalo Bills. And then, you know, he comes back, and he goes to Cleveland to face the Browns. The Browns, for crying out loud. And then they've got the Cincinnati Bengals after that, followed by the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh. So they've got the AFC North this year as their team. And they got the Browns, the Bengals, and the Steelers, boom, 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 back to back to back. And then later on in the season, in December, they play the Ravens. Plus, they also have the Denver Broncos on their schedule as the other AFC team. So they've got a pretty tough schedule. And on the NFC side of the ball, this year they play the NFC West. So they got the Cardinals. They got the Seahawks. That's going to be a tough game. That's a Sunday night football game on NBC. They have the San Francisco 49ers, who are kind of reeling. But then they got the Rams, and I think the Rams are going to be pretty good this year. So they've got a tough schedule, and it's going to be very meaningful for them to try and get out of that opening four-game stretch at a minimum 1-3. If they can get out at 2-2, that would be great. But at a minimum, they got to find a way to win one of those football games until Tom Brady gets back. Oh, I cannot wait for the season to start, people. September cannot get here fast enough. All right, I'm going to give you now, before I get out of here, some things to watch as training camps heat up. Now, there's 32 teams. I can't get to all 32, but I'm going to give you some of the top things that you should look for as you take a look at NFL Network and training camps starting throughout the NFL landscape. We'll start with the Carolina Panthers. They're the NFL, NFC's top-seeded team. How are they going to respond to that Super Bowl loss, and how is it going to affect them mentally as they prepare to start this season? They took that loss hard, man. All I can remember is Cam Newton at the end of that game not being as cool and as chill as Cam Newton usually is. He had to come out and apologize for how he responded to some of the questions that were being asked of him. How is that team going to bounce back? Then, how is that defense going to look without Josh Norman? Remember, this guy was a superstar defender who, you know, took that team to another level defensively. He's gone now. He's with the Washington Redskins. So what's that defense going to look like? That's one thing to watch out. The other thing to watch out for the Carolina Panthers, Kelvin Benjamin is back. What is the offense going to look like with him there? Is it going to be more explosive? Or with Benjamin back on the field, is that going to make the offense take a step back? Things to watch for the Carolina Panthers. I'll move on to the Chicago Bears. Now, usually I don't care much about what the Chicago Bears are doing or how's it going. They got Jay Cutler at quarterback, and you know he is not my favorite person in the world. But is the Bears' defense going to be better? They surrendered a ton of points last year. I think they were 20th or 21st in the league in points allowed. Almost 400 points. They gave up 397 points last year. That is a whole bunch of points. They cannot afford to do that with teams like Green Bay and Minnesota and Detroit in their division. They give up points again this year. Forget them. Stick a fork in them. They'll be done before they even start. So their defense, I'm not sure they made the moves that they needed to defensively on that side of the ball. So the Chicago Bears will have their work cut out for them during this training camp. Check to see how their defense does, and that is going to go a long way in finding out what kind of Bears team is going to get fielded this season. Also, the Chicago Bears have to be a little concerned with Alshon Jeffrey, superstar wide receiver, who he's not unhappy because he's not getting a new contract. He thought he was going to get a new contract. It was going to be big. Well, that hasn't happened. Can Jay Cutler get on the same page with Alshon to at least make him happy on the field, since he's completely unhappy off the field because he's not getting the money he thinks he deserves? I'm not sure Chicago's ever going to pay him the money he thinks he deserves. I think this is his final season as a Chicago Bear. I think the Bears, unless Alshon Jeffrey blows up and has a 16-touchdown, 1,500-yard kind of a season, I'm not sure Jeffrey comes back to be a Chicago Bear next year. Check how that plays out, because if he goes to training camp, things aren't going his way, he doesn't have the contract he wants, he just may mail it in. So watch out for there, the Chicago Bears. Now the Dallas Cowboys, everybody's looking at Tony Romo and Dez Bryant, all talking about the offense, Romo, Dez. They want to see how they're going to bounce back from those bad injuries they had last season, right? I'm not concerned with that. I think if those guys stay healthy, the offense is going to be fine. What the Dallas Cowboys should be concerned about is their defense. And why? As a matter of fact, first of all, the Cowboys should be worried about losing some money. The Cowboys, my understanding is, are going to get fined upwards of $250,000. That's a quarter of a million bucks, because they had three players get suspended. Rolando McClain, DeMarcus Lawrence, and Randall Gregory. All three guys suspended. McClain and Gregory, I'm sorry, McClain for 10 games. DeMarcus Lawrence is probably, it still was four games. Now it's a 10-game suspension, and Gregory for four games. Those suspensions, not a great way to start the season. So because the team had three or more players suspended, they get fined. The team gets fined. The Cowboys, last year that fine was $250,000. I don't believe it's going to be more than that this year. So that is a quarter of a million dollars that they have to pay immediately before the season even starts, because they had those three defenders suspended this year. And losing those three guys, that's not a walk in the park. Now you've got three guys that you thought you were going to go into the season who had got a lot of playing time last year, who made some damage. Gregory and Lawrence started to make some noise late in the season, getting after the quarterback. Now they're gone. Can the coaches get that defense to step up while these guys are away? The other thing is, Sean Lee's back from injury. How is he going to respond? Can he stay on the field for 16 games? Definitely look at the Cowboys' defense. That is what training camp is going to be focused on for Dallas. Can that defense actually play some football this season without those three guys? Now, the Detroit Lions. Some people say the Lions' offense is going to be better without Megatron. I laugh at those people, okay? I just laugh at them. When they tell me that and they try to tell me that with a straight face, I just laugh. I almost giggle like a little schoolgirl and be like, are you freaking kidding me? Are you crazy? The Lions ranked 20th overall in offense last year with Megatron on the football field. You think they're going to be better without him? With Stafford throwing to the likes of Golden Tate and Marvin Jones? Are you kidding me? And then I stop laughing and they're like, huh, maybe you're right. Yeah, I am right. There's no way the Lions are better on the offensive side of the ball without Megatron. Calvin Johnson is who I'm speaking of. Of course, if you haven't heard, where have you been? Calvin Johnson has decided to hang up his cleats. He has retired. That's great. I applaud Megatron for deciding, you know, sticking to his guns. I'm done with the NFL. It's not bringing me any more joy. I'm going to move on. And he did it. Now, that kind of leaves the Lions in a hole, I think. He was a great player for them. And now they're going to have to rely, I think, a little bit more on the running game. The problem is the Lions, what you should look for in training camp is, have they quelled and stepped up and filled the holes on the offensive line? Because Matt Stafford was running like a chicken with his head cut off last year. He got hit far too many times. if they don't solidify that offensive line, the Lions aren't going anywhere anyways, regardless of whether they had Megatron or not. So take a look at that offensive line, people. The Detroit Lions definitely need some help there. I'm going to bounce over to the AFC, and first I'll start with the Baltimore Ravens. My question for them is, what in the world are you doing with the running game? Trent Richardson? Really? Seriously? Can somebody explain that one to me? Why in the world would they bring in Trent Richardson? Now, if you don't know, Trent Richardson was the former number 3 overall pick for the Cleveland Browns. He kind of bounced around. The Browns traded him to Indianapolis, and the Colts kind of got hoodwinked on that one, I think. And now he is here with the Baltimore Ravens. Now, remember, they still got Terrence West. They've got Javoris Allen. They got Lorenzo Taliaferro. Taliaferro. I like that name. I can't say it, but I like it. And so I just think they've crowded up their backfield. Is Trent Richardson really going to make this football team? I'm not sure. Joe Flacco's coming back from injury, understanding that he is not on the PUP list, but he is going to be held out of almost every preseason game. I don't see him getting a lot of time on the field this preseason, but at least he's there to work out with his teammates, and that's a good sign for Flacco. But they're really going to have to depend on the running game to get things going offensively. I'm not sure Trent Ridley, can't even say his name because that's the kind of guy he is. I don't think Trent Richardson is the guy to get it done. I'm not sure the Baltimore Ravens have done enough to stay competitive in that NFC North, not with the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals. So I think the Cincinnati Bengals are the cream of that division. The Pittsburgh Steelers are pretty good as well, so I'm not sure Baltimore is primed this year to get back to the playoffs. I'll take a look at the defending Super Bowl champion, the Denver Broncos. It's good to be the king for a little while. You always start off at the top when you're the Super Bowl winning champion team, as the Denver Broncos are. You come out, you're on top, everybody's gunning for you. Every time you step out on that field, every other team brings its A game. And that's what it's going to be like for the Denver Broncos. The problem is, the sheriff is gone. Peyton Manning has decided to hang up his cleats. He got his second Super Bowl ring, and he said, I got to go home, my friends. And even though the NFL has cleared him of any wrongdoing, that HGH debacle from the Al Jazeera article that came out, Manning's decided that he's not playing. So the question for the Denver Broncos and what you should look at this training camp is, how is that quarterback situation going to play out? What is that quarterback situation going to look like? John Elway, GM, already has come out and said that the QB competition between Mark Sanchez, rookie Paxton Lynch, and Trevor Siemian is wide open. As training camps get underway, that job is wide open. Neither guy did enough in OTAs to win the job. If you're Mark Sanchez, you've got to be just going crazy. Seriously, Mr. Elway, I know you're a great quarterback and all, but I didn't do anything as a guy who has been to a couple AFC championship games, has led a team into the playoffs several times. I've played some great football in this league. These guys behind me basically don't have a whole heck of a lot of experience. And going into training camp, it's wide open. I don't even get the luxury of saying that, hey, this is my job to lose. Wow. So it's not looking good for Mark Sanchez right now to be the starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos. And that ultimately is going to decide what kind of a season the Denver Broncos are going to have. It's all on the quarterback. I'm not sure they're going to be able to get to try and defend their Super Bowl championship from last year with a rookie, a la Paxton Lynch, or they'll get back to defend their Super Bowl championship with Mark Sanchez. All I have to say is butt fumble. So there. Let's take a look at the Houston Texans, who get the quarterback that the Denver Broncos should have had, Brock Osweiler. That's right. It's Osweiler time in Houston. Now, he didn't want to stay with the Denver Broncos. The Texans offered him a little bit more money. Now, with DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, Braxton Miller at his disposal, Will Osweiler prove he was worth that $70 million that the Houston Texans are paying him? That's something to take a look out for. Is he going to have a chip on his shoulder because the Denver Broncos didn't want to keep him around? In his eyes, Houston Texans wanted him more. Now he's got to step up and be the guy. Remember, the Houston Texans got rid of Arian Foster. He's gone. Who's going to step up in the Houston Texans backfield to be the featured back? That remains to be seen. Those are questions that are going to get answered this week and next week for the Houston Texans during their training camp. I'm excited for the Houston Texans. I've always said they needed to go out and spend some money on the offensive side of the ball. Houston, for whatever reason, always early during drafts, they went defensive side of the ball, ignoring the offensive side of the ball. Well, they feel they went and got their guy with Brock Osweiler. It's going to have to see whether that pays off, because now they spent some money on the offensive side of the ball. Hopefully, J.J. Watt gets back in time. You know, he had surgery this offseason. He's going to miss training camp for a little bit. Hopefully he gets back for the beginning of the season in September and is ready to play for Houston. Check out Brock. That's going to be the big story in Houston. Remember last year the Houston Texans were on that HBO show Hard Knocks with the Houston Texans? The first episode, head coach says, let's show that the quarterbacks we have here are good quarterbacks. Everybody's ragging on them. I'm tired of that. And pretty much the quarterbacks were what we thought they were and what everyone said they were. Not good enough. At the end of the season, they sneaked into the playoffs. And they needed Brandon Whedon, of all people, who they had snagged after the Cowboys released him. They needed him to step in and play quarterback for them. So let's see if Brock can be the guy. It's going to be interesting to see what he has in store for the Houston Texans. They're paying him a whole heck of a lot of money, and they got him some pieces on the offensive side of the ball. Lamar Miller was brought in as Arian Foster was released. So let's see if maybe he can be the guy who steps up to be the every down back for the Houston Texans. I like the team. I'm not sure that Brock was the guy in Denver, and I'm certainly not sure that he's going to be the guy here for the Houston Texans, but that is certainly a storyline worth watching during training camps. The Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers have to find a way to keep Big Ben healthy. That's their problem almost every year for the last several years. Their offensive line gets hurt. They don't have any depth, and Big Ben gets hurt, and they have to play a few games without him, and it's just not that good. Well, it starts with their O-line. While everyone else is talking about Le'Veon Bell and whether he's going to be suspended or not be suspended, the Steelers should be focusing on getting that offensive line in tip-top shape. Because Pouncey went down last year, they didn't look good after that. They have to make sure that they keep Big Ben healthy. That should be their number one priority. Let's take a look and see how that offensive line fills out through the training camp, and see who are the starting five guys that are going to be tasked with keeping Big Ben upright. Finally, I want to talk about the Oakland Raiders. Why the Oakland Raiders? Because they're not that sexy. But it's another offseason where I'm already starting to hear chatter from everyone and their dog who think the Raiders are going to be great this season. Ease up on the greatness talk, okay? The Raiders got some great pieces. Khalil Mack on the defensive side of the ball. They were 11th overall in yards allowed per game last year. That was pretty good for the Oakland Raiders, and I think they can get even better. My thing is, on the defense, on the offensive side of the ball, Derek Carr, quarterback, Amari Cooper, remember they looked pretty good together last year. Can they continue to heat it up and go into this season? And can their offense be as productive as their defense was last year? Offense didn't look so hot. They had some pretty spectacular plays. They had three or four or five plays that made highlight reels. They looked really good. And the Oakland Raiders once again became darlings. And it was like, whoa, Carter Cooper, CNC, baby, CNC, baby. Well, it's going to have to be more than just those two guys. Latavius Murray at running back. Do they have another running back that can help him out? Do they have another running back who can be a third down guy and be effective spelling Murray from time to time and giving him breathers when he needs it? That's what the Oakland Raiders are going to have to focus on. I say, Oakland, if you have storylines to take a look at, it's on the offensive side of the ball. Who else is going to be there to make plays besides Amari Cooper? Who's going to step up at the wide receiver's position? Who's going to step up behind Latavius Murray running the football for Oakland? That's where you have to look for Oakland. I think the defense, once again, can be better than 11th overall. Their overall finish last year, they can do better there. But offensively, will they be able to put up points? Folks, that's all the time I have for you. I know there's a bunch of other teams that I'd like to get to. And over the next couple weeks during training camps, as they progress, as those preseason games start to kick off, I'll get a chance to touch base on every single team. These are just a handful that I wanted to talk about today and get back into the swing of things. We are back. Season 12 is a full go. Once again, folks, thank you for listening. Fantasy football leagues are forming. You got 2 weeks to go out there and claim your spot. If you played last year, you should have an email. Otherwise, check the website, www.nflrandr.com. That's NFLRANDR.com. Make sure you're following me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Get on it. Find all the social media handles on the website, right on the homepage. All the little buttons are there. I've got some good posts, images, and pictures that I put up there from time to time, as well as letting you know what the schedule is going to be for the remainder of the season for putting out a podcast. I want to do a weekly podcast. Every year, every week from now until the remainder of the NFL season, should be able to keep Wednesdays as my go-to night, record night. That should work. And also, listen, there might be some big things on the horizon, so get ready for that as well. For all of you show donors, that you continue to be very generous with your contributions, I thank you very much. I hope to have some show donor material to put up for you shortly. You've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. Thanks for coming along. I'm Steven Miranda, and I'm out.